let's have a wee word of prayer and then we'll start. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, for the lovely weather that we have outside, even though it's a wee bit cold side. Thank you, Lord, for each of the families that are here and the souls that are here. I pray you, Lord, that you would be one of our number this morning, and that you would just walk up and down this hall, and that you would meet us at the point of our needs today, Lord. You know all the private prayer requests of our hearts, and I pray, Lord, that you would work in there and upon those requests as well. And I pray for absent brothers and sisters, especially Pat and Steve, Lord, call them to. I pray, Father, that you would just put your good hand upon them and lift them up and enable them, I pray. In the meantime, Father, I pray for our country, for Israel, or other countries in the world right now, especially what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. But we pray, Father, for souls to be saved and lives to be saved as well. We just love you and thank you. Pray your good hand upon us. And Father, that you would lead us and guide us through the service and find the prayers and the praises and the preaching, tithes, offerings and fellowship, all that good stuff, Lord, that it would be acceptable in your sight. We love you and praise you. Just thank you for loving us and for all that you've done for us. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Let's take our big hymn books. And we'll start with the reason we're all saved on our way to heaven on 187, Jesus Loves Me. 187, Jesus Loves Me. Amen. We'll stand as we sing this first of our hymns.
Verse. and sing. Keep knocking at the door at Jesus' feet. We have not our needs because we do not plead with Jesus. Do you think he does not love enough to give all his children want and need? His beloved son he gave to save our souls. We shall give all else in thee. We should ask and seek. Keep knocking at the door at Jesus' feet. We have not our needs because we do not weep with Jesus. When we read the book of God, we see His grace and His promises all true. Every word reveals that God does answer prayer. We have not our needs because we do not plead with Jesus. We may
ask in Jesus' name
or ask in faith, pray united or alone. We may pray with friendly faith, but pray we should. We should plead till it is done. We should ask and seek. Keep knocking at the door at Jesus' feet. We have not our needs because we do not plead with
for a little bit. We'll take your Bibles out and follow along with Norman as he comes reading for us.
This morning's reading is from the first epistle of John, John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you an eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us, and try our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Amen.
There it is. Hiding out on me in the bottom of my front pouch. I just want to remind everybody to make sure that they get one of these little yellow this time prayer requests, or prayer lists, that has all of our prayer requests on them. So please do run your eye down those at some stage, and if there's anything that needs to be taken off, let us know. If there's anything that needs to be added on, please let us know. I know it was only printed out yesterday, but does anybody have anything extra that they would like to add to these prayer lists right now?
Yes, for the health, may I add?
For your granny?
Yeah.
Okie doke. Sounds good. Private prayer requests. Does anybody, if you put your hand up if you still have a private prayer request, and I will make sure and underline. Thank you very much. Grand job. Okie doke. Is there anybody got any thanks? You want to give?
You're still alive.
That's a good one. I can certainly go for that.
For work.
For your work. And for our work as well.
Yes.
I hope in a day or two's time that place will actually look civilized. Now, one other thing I do want, I'm hoping to have a midweek service this coming week, but I will let you know on Tuesday evening. It'll depend really on the work we get done here. It's up in the air, but not as much up in the air as
it was. Get plans into the church anyway until after Wednesday.
Yeah.
So there'll probably no problem.
We'll see how it goes. So put pencil that into your diaries if you would, and we will work as industriously as possible, and we will get as much done as possible, and hopefully meet up here on Wednesday. Now, I do not like cutting church services. There's a lot of people, even in Baptist circles, that have no problem cutting church services, and I don't know about you, but a lot of bad habits can creep in from Wednesday on whenever you're not reminded about what you should and shouldn't be doing. But please do take a minute and read over those prayer lists on your own time, and call out the names that are on it. If you have an extra bit of time and you feel like God's asking you to pray for somebody, pray for me and Norman, and we can certainly do it. There's a lot of had a lot of interesting things happen, and we're still here, so we appreciate your prayers. We know they work. We're still alive. Isn't that right, Norman?
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go. Right, let's have a wee word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song. Will, if you would, just say a word or two words, brother.
Dear Lord, thank you this day, Lord, and thank you as well. Thank you for serving us, our comings and goings out, Lord, and thank you for our health and our strength, Lord, keeping us well and keeping us safe, Lord, and thank you for helping our work, Lord, and thank you for everything else, Lord, and thank you for your son's sacrifice on the cross for our sins, Lord. Lord, pray for our friends and relatives, Lord, help them to live away in troubles, Lord, and any hardship, Lord, and save their souls primarily as well, Lord, through Jesus Christ. Pray for absent Bradford Taylor, and Christy to learn from any trouble, keep them safe and well, draw them back to us as well, Lord, and pray for them and keep them safe as well. Pray for Frank, Lord, is over in London, pray for my school to trip and transport scheme, all they keep them safe, secure, love them. Many will draw closer to walk with thee as well, Lord. With there also, Lord, Mr. Alton, keep him safe as well, Lord, keep him healthy and strong, and save his soul as well, Lord. With Colin as well, love many trouble, keep him safe well, and keep him safe and love many trouble, Lord, and help him find a job and beautiful investment as well, Lord. With safe Stephen, Colin, and John, Lord, save their souls, Lord, love many trouble as well, Lord. Remember Steve and Pat yesterday, Lord, heal Steve, Lord, reduce the his insane attacks, Lord, and Lord, heal him and deliver many from all, reduce his pain, Lord, with Pat that she gives a respite care to him, Lord, deliver from many trouble, Lord, and strengthen her, keep her as well, Lord, as well, Lord. Will to this day, Lord, and get us to direct our past, Lord, and guide us truly in being more tuned with thee, Lord. And Lord, we ask this for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Take your wee black hymn books out, if you would, and turn to number 10. Number 10 in the wee books is Thine Be the Glory. Number 10 in the wee black books, Thine Be the Glory. We'll remain seated as we sing.
Thank you.
the ransom I will sing. And forever, praise and glorify the King. All that fills my soul is Jesus.
Take your Bibles now and turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. You'll have to forgive me, I made a few mistakes when I was singing there, but I didn't bring my reading glasses with me. I'm working on my distance glasses, so I can see everything out there, but up close is a bit problematical this morning. Someone stand at the back and mind the words to me. Mark chapter 2, I want to read the first dozen verses of Mark chapter 2 this morning. I want to speak on the latest fashions. The latest fashions. Amen. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. And the word of God says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born before. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch as they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Amen. It's the only verse with the word from our title in it, the last verse that we had read, verse number 12, the last sentence there, where the people exclaimed, how they had never seen things like this before, we never saw it in this fashion, this is our text for this morning. We're speaking on the subject of the latest fashions. Let's have another wee word of prayer and then we'll jump right in. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this wee bit of time set aside from the world. I pray you, Lord, that even now that you would be speaking to our hearts and minds, that you would be comforting us, strengthening us, giving us just an aside from the world for this little bit of time, Lord. And that you would take it and work on our hearts. That you would also be with those that can't be in church, Lord, for whatever reason, for health reasons, for sorrow. And I pray that you would minister to them too. Lord, take this time to search your hearts, to find the bits that's hard and unyielding, and to get rid of them, Lord, or to talk about them to us. And Lord, those bits that are seeking you, that are wanting to learn and wanting to grow, Lord, that you would bless and comfort and strengthen and deliver wisdom to us, I pray. I pray you too for those that are living in countries that are just not conducive to the gospel, Lord, and that you would deliver and protect and provision those souls there too. Please save souls, Lord, please edify us, the saints, wherever we may be in the world today. And we ask this, and of course, for private prayer requests, Lord. We ask them all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This is not a strange piece of scriptures to you. Even as I was reading it the other day, I remembered that it wasn't that long ago that we had actually spent some time speaking about the actions of these four friends, these four men that believed that Jesus could make a difference in this man's life, this man that was paralyzed. You may have noticed that at the very beginning of this portion of God's word, the people were always crowding around Jesus. When Jesus appeared, people crowded around him. A lot of them were hoping for a miracle. You remember the wee woman with the issue of blood that touched him, and the fountain of her blood, the Bible says, dried up. They were hoping for things like that. I wonder how many others just even did the same, but there was never a mention of it. How many little old women, after this little old woman, or maybe not such a little old woman, touched the hem of his garment, just like in the words of the song, and were healed? How many others thought, hold on a second, if the Lord would do that for her, maybe all I need to do is touch the Savior, and I'll be healed as well. And in faith, maybe many others touched the Savior. They went to see other people being helped, but most importantly, as the Bible records, the common man heard him or received him gladly. They went to hear the words of eternal life. They went to hear the completion of the Old Testament preaching. They went to hear about the fulfillment of prophecies, the Messiah coming back to the world. Just in time, just like Daniel said he would, 483 years after the commandment given to Nehemiah to rebuild Jerusalem and then ride into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, healed as a conqueror one day and executed as a thief not a day or two later. People loved to hear Jesus. Sorry, the common man loved to hear Jesus. The man without any pretense, the honest man, loved to hear Jesus. The religious people, not so much. The religious people, they had their book of rules, and they had their Old Testament, and then they had a big book of rules that they had written in the 400 years intervening. Or maybe it wasn't such a big book, but at least it was this set of rules that people followed that allowed the merchants to sell their wares in the temple, that allowed the money changers into the temple, and they were robbing people blind. They were selling stuff and changing stuff at cinema prices. Have you ever heard of that? You know, when you buy a bag of crisps, what's a bag of crisps? Say a Mars bar, and it costs you 60p in the petrol station. When you go to the cinema, the Mars bar costs you 120. That's what they call cinema prices. Or if you buy 2 litres of Coke, it costs you £1.50. But if you buy a cup of Coke in the cinema, it costs you £2. That's cinema prices, and that's what many of these merchants and these money changers were doing in the temple. They probably even had to fight to find a pitch in the temple. Goodness. And when Jesus came back saying, my Father's house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. It wasn't even that they were providing a service. They were robbing the people blind. Things changed. The religious people didn't like Jesus very much, because he threatened the bottom line, he threatened the back pocket where all of the money is kept. And so they were forever trying to undermine him. And after this great thing that Jesus did, he was healing people, he was ministering people. The greatest change that occurred in people's lives wasn't when lightning came down from heaven, it was whenever a silent prayer was answered. Like for Peter, like for Nathaniel. Remember that? I saw you sitting under the fig tree before you were called. He said, there's nobody in this wide world except God could possibly have seen me under there and let you know you must be in touch with God. And when Peter, he was working away at the fish, and Jesus says, look, just throw your net in now because I have commanded it. And Peter was probably saying in his heart, only God himself could fill these nets with fish. And the fish leapt into the nets, and Peter said, oh goodness, I'm in the presence of God. And he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. It was, what did Peter say to the Lord when everybody else started to leave? Lord, where else would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. It's the word of God that is important. The demonstration of God's power is good to see, but it is the word of God that saves souls. I want for you to remember that. Anyway, these four men, and there might be a biblical principle there, I'm not saying there isn't, that if you get four people praying about somebody, you know, all in concert, everybody lifting a corner of a bed, maybe that would make a difference in a person's life. That would be worth trying out. Maybe we should make a covenant, maybe four or five or indeed the six of us. Pick a person before the end of the service and just offer up a prayer day by day as we go. Maybe we should do that. Somebody remind me about that at the end of the service. Let's pick Colin. He's having a bit of a difficult time right now. Why don't we pray for Colin just continually for the next week, the six of us. Especially, not just bless Colin, but Lord tend to Colin or whatever. Let's just remember to do that as the week goes. Anyway, this guy lands down in front of Jesus and he knows what he's going to do. And he sees this paralyzed man just lying on his bed. His four mates have just broken up the roof. I wouldn't be happy about that. Let me tell you. Not after the work that has gone into putting it up, but they didn't have plasterboard and wiring and insulation and stuff to worry about back then. But if someone got miraculously healed and saved, by all means, I would be up on the Monday morning with my riveter and my angle grinder, or maybe Norman would, and I'd be handing them to him, and we'd be getting it sorted out, and maybe a few more folks would end up coming to Bethel. I don't know. But more people, the more that they saw the demonstration of God's power, the more people turned up. And the Lord said, son, your sins are forgiven. And who was it that piped up? It wasn't the devil. It wasn't one of his demons. It wasn't the common man who was filled to bits to see this fellow get his life back. It was one of the religious people, one of the scribes, who should have known that this was the Savior, who should have understood by the demonstrations of his power already that this was God Almighty. He says, who can forgive sins but God only? And Jesus said, look, it's as easy for me to say your sins be forgiven or get up off your bed and walk. But just so that you know that I have power on earth to forgive sins, I am God. Arise, take up your bed and walk. And the guy gets up out of his bed and walks because God has literally commanded his body to be repaired, whatever was wrong with it. His limbs received strength. There's more to it than just a word. People that are sedentary for long periods of time, they lose a lot of their strength. This man was able to get up and carry his bed and walk out. And the people said, you know what? We have never seen stuff like that before. We have never seen it in this fashion. And I got to thinking about that because, you know, there's, first of all, an object lesson in people ganging up in prayer and in church to help someone, not ganging up on them to give them a hiding outside the back of the church. That's school. That's not church. But ganging up, getting together and praying for folks. There's a biblical principle there. We should remember that. But there's a definitely a requirement for Christians to discover what God wants from them. I know that there should be, and there is a very real need for salvation, but there should be a need in saved souls' lives to want to do something for God. to grow and to please the guy that saved your soul. If someone pulled you out of a crocodile infested lake or shark infested seas, you'd be a bit grateful, especially if you saw those fins coming towards you. You'd be thinking, this is it. Especially some of those really big fins coming towards you. And if someone died then or pulled you out, you'd be a bit grateful. You might even want to buy him dinner and keep in touch with him for the rest of your life, because you literally owe him your life. We ought to understand that. There should be a desire to be a good son of God. Now, the healing that happened, that made a real difference. However, today you don't hear much about healing. In the Old Testament, Jesus literally only had to look at people or say the word, and they were healed. Do you remember the Roman centurion that had the sick servant? I think literally nigh unto death. And he sent to fetch Jesus. He sent religious men that obviously feared the Lord to go and get Jesus, and because it helped out so much the Jewish faith. Please go and heal his servant. And Jesus said, okay, let's go. But when he was on his way, he sent another servant and said, no, you don't have to come to the house. Just say the word. Command him. Understanding that God doesn't have to be standing next to you within arm's reach to work in your life, but that God's word is all that it takes to work in people's lives. It's his word, it's his authority, it's his power. And again, power of God is the word of God. It pays to have it in your heart. But you don't hear that much of it now. You don't hear of people in wheelchairs. Well, forgive me. You do hear of people in wheelchairs coming into churches. And you do hear of them getting up out of their wheelchairs and prancing and capering out to the church again. But they're all frauds. I have yet to come across one that you could take to a doctor and you could see a crushed spine or a destroyed hips or pelvis or wasted bones and muscle, literally get up and carry their wheelchair and walk out of church. The Lord said when he healed people, go and show yourself to the Pharisees. Prove that you are fit for going back into the public again. You don't get that these days. I'm going to tell you why. The proofs that the message that the disciples were bringing, the same message as Jesus Christ, were proved whenever the disciples were carrying out the same miracles as Jesus. In other words, and at the end of the book of Mark, it says that the Lord worked with them, the disciples, with signs and wonders following. In other words, they preached the word of God. And then they proved that it was the word of God by carrying out signs and wonders. But it is not about the signs and wonders. It's about the word of God. Signs and wonders will entertain. They will give you pause for thought. They might even incline you towards following a person. But it is the word of God that saves your soul. And it is the word of God in your heart that makes you a better person, a better Christian. It will convict you greatly if you're lost. And it will make you think about, hold on, I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell. I need to get saved. That's what it will do for a lost person. For a saved person, it'll be, this will keep you right. Or this will be what somebody else needs to hear. That's what it is for the saved soul. And that's it in a very small nutshell. The proofs that the word that we preach have already been given 2,000 years ago in the lives of the apostles. Remember how it was for them. Remember, even as Jesus walked and talked with the apostles, that he sent out the 70. Do you remember the 2 by 2? And he says, go. The devils will obey you. You can pick up and drink poison, this, that, and the other, and serpents will bite you, and you'll be grand. And they came back and said, Lord, you're not going to believe it. Even the demons were subject to our authority, to your authority. And Jesus said, don't rejoice that you have power on earth over demons and sickness. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In other words, your soul is saved and you're going to heaven. That's what it's all about. But as the years went on, we see the miracles ceased. We saw that it was down to the preaching of the cross. We saw that it was down to Christian growth. We saw that it was down to the passing on of the word and the saving of the souls. There were not the great miracles towards the end of the books of the apostles. None. In fact, the word of God says, I think it says in 1 Corinthians 13, that these things will pass away. The healings, the tongues, that's all going to go. You want to learn another language? Be my guest. I have yet to come across one person that has a God-given other language, although he could give somebody a talent for languages, but not miraculous. So I hope that may have nothing to do with the thrust of the service, but I wanted to make that point this morning. It's down to the preaching of the gospel, and it's down to souls needing to hear it. Anyway, we're talking about fashions. And even as we read this, I actually felt quite bad for those people. In the book of Malachi, just the book before Matthew in your Bible, there were some quite powerful prophecies given by John the Baptist about the herald of God that was going to come making straight his paths. And the things that Jesus was going to do, like taking our sins upon himself. 400 years, there was nothing. God didn't deal with man. Left him to his own devices, but most importantly, he left him the bulk of the Bible, the Old Testament. All of God's rules and regulations, you didn't have to wonder about them. You didn't have to invent any more. Sorry, should I say, we didn't have to do anything other than follow the instructions that were set down there. But in that 400 years, those people, those men that claimed to be the ministers of God, changed so much that they were found to be enemies of God Almighty when he stepped on this earth. Enemies that Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, I could presently call 12 legions of angels to assist me if I wanted. But that's not what it's all about. And in the past 2,000 years, the Lord has been quiet again. He hasn't delivered us any new testimonies. He hasn't delivered us any new books, although the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witness and the Seventh-day Adventists would have you believe otherwise. There are no new books. The reason for that is because we still live in biblical times. We live in the times that are mentioned in the Bible. We still live in time and the times that were mentioned of wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilences. That's in the Bible. We live in the time when images can be given life on our mobile phones, of which there are billions on the face of the earth. We still live in the times when people are proud and covetous and boasters. They're unholy and unthankful, and they're disobedient to parents. And they mock and scoff those that point them to the foot of the cross. These are mentioned in the Bible, and these are the times that we live in. We live in the times when Israel is restored again, and that should be a big red flag to all those doubters. People say now, oh, we don't need to get saved. The latest fashion, although it's not the latest fashion, it's just do the best that you can and you will be fine. You don't need to get saved, the Presbyterian minister told my brother about 30 years ago. The Bible says differently. Jesus said to a religious man, you must be born again. It's not for my benefit. It's for your benefit. You must be born again. There is, what does the Bible say? None other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. In John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That means one, singular, and definite. The only way to get saved is by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Regardless of what the rest of the world says, or regardless of what current fashions say, we need Christ. A lot of people say, if we've got a King James Bible, a lot of people say that book is old and outdated. You should be reading an NIV. They're more up to date. They're more in fashion. It's more in line with the lives that we would like to lead. It lets us go out and drink. It lets us go out and sleep around. It lets us take drugs. Because it doesn't tell us of a God of judgment, because we don't want to talk too much about judgment. We want love and forgiveness. We want to do whatever we want, and God will say, don't worry about it. Just have at it. And that's the God that most people believe in. The God of the Bible is the God that loves everybody, will bless those that trust him as Savior, and will chasten them when they go wrong, and will constantly convict those that don't know him as Savior. That's the God of the Bible. He has things that are 100 times better than anything the world can take off you or you leave behind. That's how much he loves us. He loves us so much he gave us his only begotten Son. But there is a righteousness involved and a judgment involved. People don't want to hear that. And you know the reason why? If there was one word that you could write a sermon on, one word that needs to be brought to people's attention more than every other word. Has anybody any idea? What is it?
Hell.
There is that one, definitely. That is the world's best kept secret. Hell and the devil. The word no. Give me the word no today. People need to be told no. And to get used to being told no, and not standing like a 3-year-old that's just been told no, that goes like that there and throws a temper tantrum because they've been told no. We need that. We need to be able to deal with rejection. Like as in God saying, no, you can't go out drinking. Because when you go out drinking, that is a gateway to so much bother. There's so much sin and there's so much danger. Whenever your wits are not about you, whenever your reflexes are not as fast, you become easy prey for the predators that are out there. For the devil and all the stupid thoughts he will bring to the fore in your mind. Normally that you dismiss without even a second thought. But whenever you're under the influence of drugs or alcohol, you will willingly accept. We need to hear the word no. And that's why the 10 commandments generally start with, thou shalt not. In other words, no. No murder. No adultery. No slacking off out of church. No to disobeying your mom and dad. No stealing. No lying. No coveting what your neighbor has or anybody else. And what have I forgotten? No to other gods. That's it. It's full of no's. The only one that has a promise on us is be good to your mum and dad, and your days will be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. People don't like that. Because it means that they might be wrong. And sadly, for so many years and so many of our lives, we are told that we are right. In fact, I'll tell you now, most of the drama in quotes on TV and in the movies all comes from people doing the wrong thing. And if they did the right thing and did the honourable thing and the upstanding thing, our modern TV programming would be very boring. Latest Christian fashion is that God will let everything slide. And that's just not in the Bible, friends. That is just not in the Bible. People might think that because of the fact that bad people seem to get away with literally murder. But this life doesn't end when our bodies run out. This life keeps going and going and going and going. You will live forever. It just depends where you've chosen to live forever. You choose Christ as your Savior, or you reject Him for another day. And if you keep rejecting Him for another day, sooner or later your days are going to run out, and you're going to step off into eternity as a Christ rejecter. And then you will spend, at the moment, the next 1,000 years or so in hell. A few years beyond that, to the great white throne of judgment. A momentary blip in your punishment until you're thrown into the lake of fire. If you choose to keep rejecting Jesus Christ, as Will said, there's a very real hell. And God's plan is that none of us go there. But we have the agency in our life to decide. It's not fashionable to teach about judgment. And it's not fashionable to tell about God's righteousness. And it doesn't make people happy or encourage them to return to church when you talk about biblical standards. How do you treat people? Do you treat them as objects? Things to be used to make your life easier? Do you treat them like people, like living souls? And generally speaking today, people are just taught to not even worry about other people, but it's all about me. Me, 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 me. The last command that Jesus gave His people before He went up into heaven was go and preach the gospel to every creature. That's other people. Preach to other people. Minister to other people. Draw other people to the foot of the cross. It's not all about you. The only thing we deserve, Romans chapter 3, is hell. The wages of sin is hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not fashionable to preach about judgment, but it is necessary. There are more people, sadly, it's just the nature of the beast, that are saved by preaching about judgment and God's righteousness than were ever saved by preaching about how much God loves us. We need to know that there is a stick to go with the carrot. A lot of people will say in this day and age, I don't like the chasing my children. I don't like to smack their bums. I don't like to say no to them, because that will cramp their creative instincts. It's a funny thing, but over the past couple of days, I just got quite a few verses from Proverbs that talk about foolishness being bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction driving it far from them. About how it is by the blueness of the wound, in other words, a bruise, that children are stopped in their tracks from doing stupid things. And you know what? That's the Bible. And people say it's old fashioned. But my sister is walking around today because she got the backside beat off her one day. She was told to wait with her daddy, and my mum crossed the road and poured her down. Just 100 yards from the Carton home, if that gives it any indication of where it was. And Mom was heading off. My sister slipped out of my dad's hand and ran across the road. There was the squealing of brakes. Thankfully, she wasn't hit. But as soon as my mother found out that she wasn't injured, she took her and smacked her hard on the bottom over and over and over again until she was crying. And she related many years later that it wasn't until she was 12 or 13 that she stopped getting a tingle in her bottom every time she stepped up to the edge of the road. It saved her life. You don't run across the road. It's the same with knives. It's the same with electricity. It's the same with high stairs, etc. It's the same with bad language. It's the same with respect. Respecting your mums and dads. Children need guidance and direction. They are like a beautiful rose. that has all the potential in the world, but if you know anything about roses, you know that they need to be trimmed back drastically every year so that that new growth comes through, and even then they need to be trimmed and shaped. There's so much in the Bible. I see we have already hit 12 o'clock. And I could talk on about the things that people don't like even to talk about prophecy today, because it means that God could be coming back soon and they would have to clean up their acts. Did you know that? Hold on a wee second. I might not have another 40 or 50 or 60 years. Technically, well, I give you technically, the restoration of Israel was the last big thing to look forward to before Jesus comes back. Restoration of Israel, wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. The mark of the beast technically is available. Computer generated images, technically nothing. Practically we have it in our pockets. A global communications network so that when Jesus comes back, every eye will see him. It's there. These things are here now. There's nothing between. Jesus could come back. If you thought for a moment that the Lord was going to come back tonight, what would you do with the rest of your Sunday afternoon? Is there anybody you would speak to, anybody that you would warn, any deed that has been left undone that you would need to do? Would you live the rest of the afternoon differently to what you would normally live it? Of course we would. Might not even worry about dinner. We might go out and do stuff if we knew that Jesus was coming at 6 o'clock. Wouldn't have to worry about preparing the service. I could do something else at that time. I could tell my friends, look, the Lord's coming back. Oh, and by the way, the keys to the house are under the mat. And look in my gun safe, look in our cupboard, you will find stacks of food and supplies and equipment and this, that, and the other that you can use. You're going to need them for the next 7 years. It's going to get tough. I told you this before, and when it happens, understand that it's the word of God. The monsters didn't take us, the aliens didn't beam us off the world. Jesus took us up to heaven, like I told you he would someday. People don't like that, because it means they would have to say, hold on a wee second, that's going to happen to me in my lifetime. Fashions, scriptural, biblical fashions, have not improved the life of the Christian. They have not improved the caliber of the guys behind the pulpit. They have not improved the contents of the message. In fact, they have trimmed them down to make them so palatable to everybody that they're no use to anybody. And we need to beware. We need to beware of, lastly, our music. Have you ever heard of CCM, Contemporary Christian Music? That's all these new songs that they have for churches. Amen. Amen. And people waving their arms and they're just swaying, they're going, amen. And they're doing that for like 5 minutes. And that's nothing but mind control. The old songs that we sing, the ones that we chose this morning, are decades, if not hundreds of years old. And they talk about the Lord coming back. They talk about the great work that Jesus did on the cross. They talk about the great cost that he paid for us. The joy that we will have in heaven. There is a message in the songs. But in contemporary Christian music, just like contemporary Christian preaching, the only aim is to stop you thinking and critiquing and asking questions. The new fashions, much like new clothing fashions today, do not do people any favours. It was a few years back whenever it wasn't going crazy and people were locking themselves in their houses. I was driving in the winter. Take a look at Will there. How many layers do you have on you this morning? Four? Four layers and a raincoat in the car with the heat going In the middle of winter, I was driving through Kilfenan, your favourite driving spot, and there was a wee girl out with a cut-off top and see-through leggings and high heels walking in the rain. And I thought, what is that going to do for that wee girl? Literally in her underwear in the middle of winter and it raining. I thought, how does that help a person? It doesn't. Neither does this new watered down vegan preaching. No meat, no protein, no substance, no fibre. And we need that. This world has become a very complicated place. And we don't need to be asleep. And we don't need to have our minds switched off when it comes to dealing with it. We need to be sober and we need to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the old paths, the old ways, the old preaching, the old songs, the old standards are the only thing that stand between you, whether you're saved or lost, and complete anarchy. God's rules have worked for thousands of years. We're not any smarter. We're not far removed from the people that were in the Bible. We're exactly the same. I know, and I've done it sometimes, if I was to empty my pocket of gadgets, I have a pocket knife, would you believe? I have a huge roll plug. I have a radio key. I also have just about every key that I will ever need. But on that, I have a lighter, a miniature crowbar, which I'm going to have to use to straighten the key, nail clippers, a pry bar, a carabiner, and another carabiner. If I check my back pocket, I've got a little light. If I check my other coat pocket, do I? I do.
But they're not as nice as mine.
Anyway, you get the idea. I have two phones when I come to church, because one is mine and one is the church phone. I record the service twice in case one of the phone batteries dies. What else do I have? I have a wallet on me with all sorts of wee electronic doodads. I think there's a can opener in there and a silver coin that you can drop into doubtful water and the silver will purify it. We have all sorts of wonderful gadgets and we think these things make us better than our brothers and sisters from 2,000 years ago. But let me tell you the honest truth. Give it a week in clothes from 2,000 years ago with no gadgets, maybe a pocket knife, a homemade pocket knife, leather sandals, an itchy, scratchy coat, and you would not be able to tell the difference between you and one of our brothers and sisters from 2,000 years ago. But our minds are different. I'll tell you something that people used to do 2,000 years ago. They used to turn up at church on a Saturday, and then they'd be out drinking or consulting with their witches or offering up their children in the hands of that molten statue Molech. And God said, I hate all of those things. 3,000 years ago, God said, these six things I hate, they seven are abomination to me. And most of them is to do with a proud look, a lion tongue, hands that are swift and going to mischief, feet that run to mischief, and hands that shed innocent blood. That was it. And sores of discord amongst the brethren. People are still doing that. People will still go up to Belfast to the abortion clinic and they will ditch their unborn child in one of the most dangerous procedures in the world, and they will burn that little child in an oven just so that their lives become more prosperous, just like people thousands of years ago did. You know the only difference is now? We have the government telling us it's okay, and we have a veneer of respectability. We're no different. People needed Jesus 2,000 years ago, and people still need him today. Clothing fashions, housing fashions, electrical, building, construction standards, they may all change, but I'll tell you one thing, two things that don't. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And our need for him never changes either. We need Christ. It might make you an old fuddy-duddy, but if that's the case, it's only old fuddy-duddies that are going to heaven. New and cool is not true. It is the old paths that are the true paths, and it is the Word of God contained in the King James Bible for the English-speaking person today that will save your soul and keep your head screwed on and your feet on the straight and narrow path for the rest of your life if you let it. You don't need anything new. We've got from the start of that Bible to the end of it. It takes us from the start of mankind up until the end of the earth. Don't need anything else. It's all there. I hope that's a help to you. I'm going to stop there, yep. I'm going to sing a song, and then we will be dismissed. Hey, thank you for your good time. Right, let's see. Hymn number 25. We will close with that in the big books. Hymn number 25. It's called Wounded for Me. We'll stand as we sing. Hymn number 25. For this little bit of time in your presence and in your word. And I pray, Lord, that we would consider all the things that we come across and all the different paths that we're encouraged to walk down. Lord, that we would forever choose the old paths. Bless us as we part company. Be with absent brothers and sisters. Convict those that have slipped away, Lord, and draw them back into fellowship and to service. And Lord, bless us. Thank you for loving us and for your Son. Thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your patience with us and your forgiveness. And I thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. We love you and praise you. And we ask these things and thank you for them, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for just a little bit.